This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Yo, what up, Hot Breath-a-verse? Happy Friday, or whatever day you are finding this Hot Breath-a-sode. This one-of-a-kind, never-before-done Hot Breath-a-sode. If you like this style, this is a Q&A our guest from the past 2 weeks, Caleb Sinan did with my comedy class. He was willing to come into the class, sit down for an hour, answer any questions all these newer comics had about comedy. And if you enjoy it, please let me know. Shout out to Christian Rodriguez all the way from Texas for posting about Hot Breath and sharing the love. Please, Hot Breath-a-verse, that is how we grow. So thank you also to Ronnie Too Funny for connecting and always engaging on social media as well. And he hit up Christian Rodriguez as well in the Hot Breath-a-verse as it grows together. So get out there, interact with each other, you know. Let's build a community here. We have a Facebook page, the Hot Breath Comedy Network, if you guys want to get on there and meet each other and really start to build this baby out. But I'm recording this on Friday morning, just wanting to engage with you and say what's up. Hope you had a good time out on that comedy grind. I got to be honest, this week I did not get on stage yet. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. We're not all perfect, okay? Had some family jazz going on this week, so that comes first. But it's all good, all right? Don't beat yourself up for not being perfect. Oh, I didn't right today, or I didn't perform today. It's all about consistency in the long game, all right? So at every level, we all have some self-doubts about, well, we should be doing more, but just focus on what you are doing or how you can get better at what you are doing. So it's all about consistency, baby, all right? Perfection is just an illusion. I literally just read that. I just finished this Seth Godin book called Tribes, which was very cool about building your own kind of tribe, really, and connecting and helping people connect through whatever your passions are, which mine personally being comedy and Hot Breath. So this is the tribe. We are in a tribe together, which is very fun when you think about it that way. So let's be a tribe and listen to this interview together. Well, it's not really an interview, it's a Q&A, but Caleb's interview has been getting a lot of good feedback, and I was like, hey, let's drop this on him. So what you're about to hear is the one and only Caleb Sinan, fresh off a flight from L.A., sitting down with a comedy class, answering all questions comedy. Enjoy.
But I can get better, because anyone can get better. Even if you're the worst, you can get a little less worst.
So it's encouragement for everyone in here.
Yeah, and everything can get better. And so that's when I started, and then I realized Atlanta was so like one of the best scenes in the country, in the world. Like it's a great scene, and that I live pretty close to it. And I wasn't even good yet, and I was like, well, I'm gonna drop out of college and do this. Which was, everyone told me it was a bad idea, but I felt like it was a good one. And so I moved to Atlanta, didn't have a place, I just drove there and was like, I'll figure it out. And it worked out.
Yeah.
There's a network of comedians, and I started doing, well, I mean, the Laughing Skull is one of the best clubs there is, you know? And I started doing it. I tried to average like 30 shows a month, like even if, you know, three one night, take some nights off, but I was like, if I do this about that often, I bet I'll get better at it. And I did. I got better, which helped. And everybody has different styles, but for me, I grew up really weird. Like, I was homeschooled for a few years. My dad's a preacher. Like, a lot of things that are not everyone's experience. So a lot of the comedy just came from, I would just be telling someone what I honestly thought, and they'd start laughing, and I'd be like, oh, that's not what I thought was going to happen. So I would write that down and be like, well, I don't know what made them laugh, but I'll figure it out. And that's kind of what a lot of my material is. Like for the first Conan set, I was just talking to my friends at a bar about sex, and I just said, every woman's ever wanted to have sex with me has. And then I started trying to finish that thought, and they started laughing then. And I was like, oh, that is kind of funny. So it's mostly I kind of stumble on thing and then realize, like, put it back together, and then, oh, I could turn that into something. And then sometimes you think of just a kind of a joke. But that's how I sort of built it. And
did you write it down immediately, or how did you...
I usually text it to myself as soon as that happens. Because that's the quick... Like, I get right there a message, and I text my own phone number, like, some keywords. And...
do your friends know you're working on material?
I try not to make it obvious. Because, you know, if you're just talking with people you like,
right,
and you have fun with anyway, who hangs out with their friends and never laughs at all? Even the least funny people, you're laughing with your friends. So I try not to go, I was thinking about dating. Like I try to just have a normal conversation, see what comes up. Because that's what works for me. I used to try to get like on my computer, just type out a monologue and then memorize it and recite it. But that just it just didn't work for me. That's the way George Carlin feels. It feels like a piece. And I try to do that, and it just, it seems like a TED talk, and I don't seem authoritative enough or intelligent enough to pull off of something that seems memorized. Like right now, I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I didn't memorize it. To just kind of go off of the feeling. But some people's persona doesn't match them at all. Like you meet the real them, you're like, oh, your comedy is not at all like your personality. But I tried to make mine as close as I could. Because I'm not a good actor.
When you were doing those three sets a night, did you switch it up at all, or did you just do little nuances? And
I would try to switch it up. There's some jokes that you're like, oh, that works really good, and I can do it that. But you find out better ways to do even little things to add. Like I wear glasses. I wore them on the first one, they kind of have a glare, and that's something I figured out probably in 2016 or something. I was like, oh, I could get extra laughs if I get contacts, and more of the audience will be able to see my eyes, and like sometimes just a little thing will help, or just a little eyebrow thing. And I love Bernie Mac. He'll get like 10 extra laughs for looking around. He'll look around for 3 minutes and just kill. So there's all kinds of things you can add that's why I love doing it so much, because you can kind of build it out, and like who knows what you can add. And like sometimes it'll be something so simple. One of my friends, Adam Christie, I've seen him, he'll get a laugh, he'll tell the joke and get a laugh, and then he'll just go walk over to the side of stage and knock on the wall. It doesn't even make sense, but it's just like he's just having fun and being silly, and there's all kinds of fun things you can play around with. And it's also, you can kind of condense it. Like I figure out, that's three sentences I don't need. Because the audience is not going to be like, oh, they said something funny right away, we weren't ready. I used to think that. I'd be like, well, they'd be like, hello, how are you doing? And then here's a little bit, like, you think you have to build up to a big thing, but you can just say something, you can just be funny immediately if you want. I was watching last night at the Laughing Skull, Mandel.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting laughs. The way he walked out was funny. They were laughing before he even got the microphone. And he was like, he was just telling people to clap. He made them clap for like 5 minutes straight. It was great. And I don't even know what that is, but that's not a joke to make people clap for 5 minutes. But everybody loved it. It got a lot of laughs.
What was the rehearsal like for like Conan especially? Because what we're doing right, this is week 8. So Friday they're graduating. So now it's like they're figuring out the material they want to do, and now it's like getting it memorized and ready for the grad show.
Yeah.
So like, what's your process with like rehearsal and memorization?
Well, the hardest thing is the first time, because you've never said it out loud, so it just seems weird. Even if you've told it to your friend, you never said it to an audience who is not asking you to say it. And it's not, you have to figure out, how do I get something from my head or from a conversation and put it in the context of a show so that they understand it and can laugh at it. And that's the hardest part for me. And once you figure that out, And you do it a couple times, and then figure out where it fits. There's some things that doesn't really make sense to just come out and say, and you're like, maybe that needs to be near the end. But once you do it, maybe two, three times in that order or something, then it seems a lot easier for me. But then, I mean, I forget a lot of stuff. Sometimes people go, I love that one, but I literally don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you walking around your apartment, like, saying it out loud? Or for, like, Conan, maybe you did Last Comic Standing, but this is really, like, more of, like, a TV debut where it's a full set, you know?
Yeah. I tried to run it, and I like to look at it. I usually try my best to give the bits one or two word names and then look at them in that order. Sometimes I'll make it the background on my phone. I don't have a vision board, but I mean, the background on my phone is as close to a vision board as I got. And sometimes I like to write it down and like just different ways to get it in your head. If you write something, I think your brain remembers. And then I take a picture of it, make it the background of my phone. And then, like, you just kind of think about it. And like I look at my phone constantly. So I'm like, oh yeah, there, that's the order. And then I think about it when I go to sleep. And then sometimes I've come up, like I've been like dozing off, and I'll come up with one more line. I'm like, oh, it'd be fun to, after this one and before this one, I can say that. It's a quicker way. But just to prioritize it in your head, like, because for me it is the most important thing, comedy. So it's always like in the top thing. And you can think, you know, when I'm doing dishes or whatever, just to keep going over it.
How do you keep yourself from panicking when you think this is going to really hit and it doesn't? And you have that, oh God.
Sometimes it doesn't hit, and it sucks. But
how do you edit it so it doesn't affect the rest of your set?
Well, you just try not to take it personally. That's what I do. But I mean, everybody has been. I think everybody's had a few crushing disappointments in their life, and nothing's gonna hurt worse than high school embarrassment. I mean, there's no matter how bad I bomb, it's not as bad as high school was. So it's like, yeah. So sometimes a joke might get dead silence, but it's like you live. And nobody, you don't get in trouble really. The crowd's just like, and most of the time they're like, we hope we like the next one. Usually they're not angry. That's pretty rare. That I felt in danger. But it's just like, you know, it's way worse in your head than it actually is. I mean, I'm trying to remember what it was. Sunday? Mm-hmm. Monday. This Monday, I had one of the worst sets I've ever had. I mean, it was really, really people just looking at me. And, I did new jokes that didn't work, old jokes. I was like, oh, this is my backup. This will definitely work. That didn't work. Nothing worked. And then I was trying to be like, well, sometimes if you just go, well, this is going bad. And then the audience will be like, yeah, it is. Like, you'll get like a laugh for just acknowledging it. That didn't work either. They're like, They didn't get it. I mean, it was, you know. And then I've seen some comedians, they just can't handle, like, meltdown. They'll be like, I've been on TV, fucking. And it's like, that's not going to help. Talking down to them, they're like, we came here to laugh, we want to. It's just not working. Usually they don't have it out for you. But sometimes it just goes bad. And no matter how far along you get, it gets bad. I mean, that was one of the worst bombs I've ever had was Monday. And then,
How long was the set?
Oh, it felt forever. It was about 10 minutes, and just got off stage, and you're just like,
yeah. Did anybody else do well? And
oh, yeah. Other people in the crowd, they like some other people. But
what do you think went wrong?
I think sometimes it's the way, because sometimes you forget. Like, you know your jokes, and there's other people who know your jokes, and you have friends and family. Sometimes you forget. This is the first time they've ever even seen your face or been in a room with you, and you're making 50 first impressions. You're making a first impression with the whole crowd. And sometimes you can blow it before you get the mic out of the stand. If you rub them the wrong way, something that might be like a funny off-the-cuff thing to say about the host, they might go, well, we like that. They might not get it, that you two are friends and have a history, and they're like, why did you say that mean thing about the host? They don't understand. And they don't have the context that you and other comedians do. And I mean, I just made some, I think I just made every choice wrong, which you can still do. So it's like, I think I tried to open with, it was right before Halloween. I think what I said, the host was wearing a taco. His costume was a taco. And I tried to say something, I can't remember what I said, but the audience didn't like that, the taco thing. I think I said something about his costume, they're like, we like the taco. And I think just from then, they kind of went like that, and then I reacted to that wrong, and then, you know, sometimes, and then they're just like falling downhill, like trying to grab something, and it just didn't. And then the first joke I went into, and they're like, oh, here's a joke. They're like, we didn't like the joke. We don't like what he said about the taco, we don't like the joke, and then I just couldn't get them, and it was pretty hard.
How do you bounce back? Because everybody bombed. Like, you know, Chappelle got booed a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, how do you bounce back mentally? Because even some people in here have done open mics, and they're like, oh, God, that was, you know, it didn't go like I would. How do you recover?
Well, does everyone here think they're funny?
Sometimes.
Right. I mean, no one's funny all the time. So as long as you really believe it, you know, sometimes you have it's like having a bad hair day or something. It's like, hey, it'll look good eventually. It's just a bad day.
Mine does normally. Yeah.
Looks great. Everybody's hair looks great here.
I can imagine your hair looking bad.
Oh, thank you so much. But, yeah, I try to remember that I do think I'm funny. But there's some people that agree. Not everybody.
Do you look in the mirror and say
that? Oh boy, that look in the mirror after a bomb. This is what I'm doing. But yeah, you kind of have to remind yourself that, you know. And by the way, no one on earth has 100% approval rating. I mean, I always think of like, everyone likes Brian Regan, but go look on YouTube. There's a lot of people that don't like Brian Regan. I know there's people in my family who I'm like, oh, you like him, he's clean, and they watch me, and they're like, I hate this. And I'm like, what do you want? Like to me, it's like the top. So, you know, sometimes everyone who, even if 1% of, even if you're 99% of people think you're funny, sometimes you're going to get a room of just that 1%, and there's just not a lot you can do. And I mean, who's somebody famous you don't think is funny? I mean, you might be a crowd of you that night. I mean, the coolest thing about being in LA is you get to see everybody bomb. I mean, because LA crowds are like, hey, last night I saw my favorite comedian for free in a small room and I got to talk to him afterwards. Like, they're so spoiled. It's like, I mean, I've seen the biggest. So I've seen Chappelle have like a tough time. And you're like, what do you, I mean, I don't know what these people want.
Do you still enjoy watching comedy just for fun, or is it mostly just when you're in a show that you happen to catch other people?
I mean, I still really enjoy it. It doesn't have the same, it's for different reasons now. Like, sometimes I'll just be just blown away by somebody, and you kind of, it's hard to get out of your head of like, oh, this is what they're doing. Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, I wish I could have thought of something like that. Or, oh, that's a great way to like, bring them in and get their attention. And do you know Eddie Pepitone? Do you guys know him?
Mm-hmm.
He's really great, but he has this, I've never seen him, he'll get like super quiet and then he'll get super loud at the punchline, but his premises are always, and I was like, oh, that's such a great, like every level of the voice. And it's things that I never thought of. And then sometimes it's genuinely fun to watch someone really bomb, like, and just watch how they deal with it. And then sometimes you watch somebody really talented bomb and then get them back and you're like, oh wow, that's like an achievement. Have you seen the Bill Burr thing in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just like, he's like, I'm taking everybody down with me. I mean if you guys don't like it, then you're gonna really hate this. And it's just fun to watch the moves. And then sometimes the cool thing is, like, no matter how, like, I've been doing it for a while, but sometimes I'll just get, it's like an out-of-body experience. Somebody, you forget about the moves, you forget about the jokes, and you just really enjoy it and really laugh, like, till your stomach hurts and you cry, and it's like, that still does happen. Like, no matter how many books you read and how in inside baseball is. Like, sometimes some people can really get you, and that's when it's like, wow, you, those people are really good. And I think that takes a long time.
So you're from here and you moved out to LA? Is that...
Yeah, I was here. I mean, I'm from Royston, which is like an hour from here, but I lived in the city for 3 years.
So did you feel it was a benefit to you to start here?
Oh,
and
huge.
Because you'll get killed earlier on there in LA.
Well, starting in LA is very hard.
Yeah.
I've talked to people who've done it. It takes a lot out of it. It might be the hardest place to start because the open mics there are really hard. There's no audience members. It's other comedians, and they're not doing a good job of that. And they're not even. And I'm always like, you know, do unto others. Like, you're gonna go up there, and then you're gonna look out at the crowd. It's gonna be all the comedians, and they're looking at their phones, and you're gonna wish they were paying attention. So why don't you do that? Mm-hmm. And then it'll all be. We'll all be happy. But there's no, in LA, the scene's so big and spread out, and there's not that like community and camaraderie, at least when you start there. And so a lot of the people there, even people who start there are funny. Their comedy is pretty weird because it had to get the attention of only comedians for years. Mm. So even when they kind of get like move up to the next level, their comedy is just very odd and like very inside jokey. But there's some people who work it out, but here I had no idea what I had. I would go to an open mic at the Laughing Skull, and it's sold out, full of actual people, and you get a real gauge of how this is going to work as a joke that I can use for my career. And that's really hard in LA. I think New York too. I've never lived there, but and I wasn't that good for a long time, and I would still be able to do real shows pretty like every night in front of real crowds and learn how to be a comedian that way, instead of just, you kind of feel like you're going insane at some of those LA open mics. It's like, I mean, and I sometimes I'll still do them just because I'm like, I want to try out these jokes. And I'll be like, oh, that killed. And then it never works in front of anyone but comedians, because it's just that, like, I did this joke one time at an open mic, and I was so excited. Like, oh, this is a new bit. I'm going to do this bit on TV. I'm so excited. And now I look back, like, what was I? That was so stupid. It was just a comedian. The joke was that I said it at all and thought it was worth saying at an open mic. They were laughing at the fact I said it, not that it was funny. I looked at my notes and I said, water towers, what are they doing up so high in the air? That's not a good joke. But the fact that I looked at my notes and go, oh yeah. And I think the comedians thought that was a parody of a joke.
Right.
Like, that's something, if you, in The Simpsons, if that's something Homer would say at an open mic, like, oh, this is going to kill. It was just a dumb thing, and I tried it in front of real people, and they're like, that's not an observation. Yeah, I don't know why they're up there, and I don't care. And you didn't really have a perspective that was interesting. And it's, but yeah, it's like, sometimes you can kind of go insane doing just that kind of stuff. But Atlanta and Denver, from my experience, are probably the two best places to start. I think you can get a lot done in a short amount of time and get really, really good. I mean, I haven't been everywhere, but those cities, it's two of the best.
How did you go from, like, outsider to you're part of the in crowd?
Well, it's also just to focus on what you like. Because you need to have faith in yourself. And I like that movie Inception. Like, I know it might be some hippy dippy shit, but no one's gonna think the thought if I don't think it. I think I'm really funny. I think this is really funny. Mm. And I'm telling you what I think is funny. I'm not asking you. And if you're out there like, I don't think they're gonna feel it. And I tried to be like, this is what I think is funny. This is what I think is interesting. This is what makes me laugh. And I hope you agree. But if not, I know some people do, because I think it. And some people, they go for what do comedians like, what do audiences like, what will make money. And you can see that with movies that come out where you're like, oh, like they're literally like being like, okay,
yeah.
Survivor is huge. Let's do scripted Survivor. We'll call it Lost. People like Islands. They like that. That literally, I'm sure someone had a marker and was like, okay, it needs to be hot people on an island. And that'll make my, or, you know, they like this movie plus this in the 50s will be this. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of feel like you're being manipulated. Mm-hmm. And other, like people that helped me out, because that's what you want. You're like, this is what I like. If you agree, let's work together. Mm-hmm. And like all the stuff I did with Comedy Central, that was one person. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Comedy Central was like, we love you. Here's an email from Comedy Central. Come on in. It was one person that worked there. Thought I was funny, and you know, we're hanging out having beers in a bar, and she's like, how would you like, I thought I like this thing that you said, why don't you send me an idea? And yeah, it's when people go, oh, Comedy Central loves you, I'm like, no, Rachel. Just her. No one else is that interesting. So yeah, I mean, and that's Conan, it's one guy, Conan O'Brien, I don't think knows my name, but the one guy, the booker, I mean, I know. So there's really like five people that think I'm that have gone to bat for me. But that, I mean, five out of however many people alive, that's enough for that. So, but if I was doing what I think, like, oh, this is a nice middle America, like this would be good. If you're doing that, I don't know if those people would have liked it. They'd be like, that's not. But you know, you don't need a. You know, whatever size audience you're going for, you know, you want them to like it. You want it to be, you know, real shit. And I don't know. And you try to let people know that you're passionate about it. And like, I'm working. I mean this. Because I know I appreciate it. When I see someone and I'm like, oh, they're giving this everything. You know, they're committing. Then you like that. And you're like, I want to hang out with this person. Who likes it as much as I do. And when you see some people and you're like, oh, they don't, you can tell they're not.
I was just saying that last week.
Yeah.
Like, people that, like, it's, oh, I'm just up here ironically. This isn't
yeah.
real. I'm not into this. Like,
mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll meet comedians who go, I don't really watch comedy. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And that just kind of rubs me the wrong way when I'm like, you don't watch the thing you do? Like, what are you, that's insane to me. You go, if you meet an athlete that doesn't watch sports, you'd be like, oh, what? Yeah, and it's easy to bond with someone if you both love it.
You know? So how do you meet those people? Like, I mean,
give
obviously
your card.
Very early, but
yeah.
Like you're just doing open mics or you're doing shows and you just meet someone. They go, hey, I think you're really funny, and you go, we should hang out. I mean, is it like one of those?
It does help to, and not everyone is the same that way. If you're really funny, you don't have to be, you know, a social butterfly. If people want to work with you, they'll work with you. But for me personally, most of the things I've gotten have been, like when I got Conan, it was in a bar talking to the booker. That's just the way that I have gotten things done. Because that's the way I was before stand like that. Just that's the way I have been operating. Like I came up with the ideas, hanging out with my friends in a bar. I told the jokes in a bar. Like it's just and some people aren't like that. They're just not their style. But doing festivals and hanging out and stuff. I met most of the people at festivals, and I mean that's why it took me a while to get a good tape. Once I got a good tape and started doing festivals, you know, you can meet a lot of people. I mean, almost everybody goes to, I mean, everyone who does stuff in the industry goes to at least a few. So if you do enough, I mean, you run into them. And they're not as bad as the, like, I thought they'd be. Like, you see movies and you see, like, oh, they got a suit on and they look powerful. But they're just people, too. that wanna get things done without working that hard. So they hope that you're like with Conan, I was like, I'm gonna do most of the work myself. I don't want him to have to be like, cut this and cut this and cut this reference to Coca-Cola because that's a sponsor. And, you know, like I was like, let me go ahead and do as much as I can so he can go, oh, that's already 90% there. All I gotta do is say cut that and that, and then my job, so I get a check and it's great. Because he doesn't want to work on it for 2 years, whittling it down. And if you already have things ready to go and you're doing your part, then you know, they have jobs. They want to clock out and go home. So they're really just looking to fill slots. So just be easy to work with, and that's what they want.
So people that are 10 years behind you and have only done maybe one or two shows, what advice would you give us for starting out?
I would say make very clear goals and think about what could I do every day to get, even if it's just a tiny bit closer, like what is something I can do? Because for me, my goals were very, I was like, I want to get into the Laughing Skull Festival because I knew the guy that booked the Montreal Festival went to it. And I was like, because if I get to Montreal, I know the Conan booker is there. And if I do Conan, then that's the goal. So I was like, okay, so how do I get closer to the first part of that? And it was to get a good tape so I could get into the festival. So I was like, okay, how do I get a good tape? Because I do a good show. and how do I have a good set on a good show? And, you know, just like, even if it's just, I need to go out tonight and make this joke good enough so that I have a 10 minutes that is laugh, 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 laugh. And so, I mean, the goal was a killer 10 minutes, which is not, you know, as long as you're working on that every day, getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and it's a little tighter, and now this gets an applause. Just saying this one thing at the end, now it gets an applause break, and that's really cool. But yeah, like that 10-minute tape that I got in 2013, that's what got me to Conan in 2015. And, you know, jokes I wrote in 2012 went into that tape. So it's, I mean, it, you know, it might be years from now, but it's like every day I gotta get a little closer. And, I mean, it just depends on your goals. Like, people always give you advice for their goals, and it's like, well, that does the, you know, Jerry Seinfeld's always like, well, you gotta be clean. It's like, well, that's for you. You're talking about yourself. Not everyone does. And so, everyone's goal might not be to do Conan. You might wanna, you know, have a different path, but whatever it is, I mean, there's ways to get there. And, you know, don't waste time.
Do you do mostly just stand up, or do you write?
I like writing too. I don't think I'm as good at it, but I mean, I've been doing stand up for 7 years, like almost every day, and thinking about it all the time, very focused on it. And I think to be as good at writing as I am at stand up, I would have to do the same thing, which I haven't been doing. But I mean, I'm sure if I spend the next 7 years writing every day and putting as much time into that, I'm sure I could get better. But I've written for a couple things, but those are great. By the way, writing jobs pay a lot, so that's one of my goals. I'd love to get a writing job. I had one for about a month, and it was great. It was really good. You get a union writing job, it's like, ooh, like a lot. It's a lot of money. And it's hard. They work the hell out of you for those writing. I mean, I have some friends who have them. And even when I had them just for that month, it was all day, every day. You know, I'd get home and then I'd have an email and they'd be like, can you send us like three more things? And then I'd be up till 2 a.m. And they pay you, but you're like, you're working for it. But they pay you money. And it's fun. It's fun to be like, oh, I wrote that and that killed. And you're like, well, I'm not getting any credit for it, but they get credit for it, and I get money, but I like to stand up the most. There's nothing more fun to me.
When you think about stand-up and how you got better over time, is it your materials got better, or you performed it better, or everything's tighter, or everything together?
Yeah, I try to have the least amount of, even now I'm like, sometimes a premise I'll be like, this premise, like, because they're quiet while you're setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, this is a lot of silence. They laugh at the end, but I just, you know, I always try to have less silence. And then sometimes I go through weird phases, like, lately a lot of the stuff I've been writing is just really dumb and really silly and, you know, I don't even know what, but I mean, I'm enjoying it. And then sometimes I go through phases where I'm like, you know, I'm writing stuff that I'm like, oh, this is very smart or whatever. But, I think the goal is to just go, I mean, you always want it to be tight. You always want it to be better and get more laughs and applause or cheer or whatever you're going for. You're trying to make, you know, to make positive noises.
It's gurgles.
Yeah. Any noise that I think they're having a good time. I mean, you know, even if they're going woo, I'm like, okay, that's good. But you know, just kind of go with what you're feeling, because it's really fulfilling to be like, you know, I've been doing a lot of silly stuff, but I've been really liking it. And I try to make it all. I try to have something worthwhile that someone could repeat. But have you guys seen Adam Sandler's new special?
Yeah,
just one.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but it made me laugh so hard, just silly bits. It was, and he seemed to be having a lot of fun, and it made me have fun. I was like, I don't know what else you can ask for. I mean, I laughed for an hour. I mean, that's great. And then you can also laugh at smart things. But, just whatever you're looking for. And it's so doable. Like, I don't think I'm that smart. I don't have a degree in anything, and I'm not a great student, but you can listen to one of your sets and go, I can cut that. And then sometimes you cut it and then it doesn't work. You go, oh, I guess that was too many cuts. I actually need that part to get that laugh. But whatever the minimum amount of setup to the, and sometimes it's fun to kind of lure them in and then really surprise them. But I mean, you can have a really short, I wish I had, like that joke in the first one, everyone's ever wanted sex with me has, that I wish I could get, I wish every sentence got a laugh, but sometimes you can't. But it would be, that's the goal. It's an impossible goal, but it's fun to work towards.
Do you have another show here tonight? Or?
I'm doing the Laughing Skull tonight.
Yeah, it's Best of Atlanta, so there'll be a lot of good local comics there.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. It's been so fun. This weekend has been... it's so cool to see. That's one of my favorites. So it's like a little festival because it's, I haven't seen every, I've seen some of them and everybody has, Clayton English was there last night and they had all this new stuff. It's great. Comedy's really fun.
So you're saying your first goal was to get into the Laughing Skull Festival. Did you work really hard, like at one place like the Laughing Skull to try to get up every time they could let you and try to like, what do they call that when you're the... one comic of the month that
the resident
comic. I live right above the Laughing Skull, so I always like.
Oh, great.
There. But did you like really focus on like a one place to try to get like really known there?
I mean, the Laughing Skull was definitely a place. I mean, they have so many shows there that it's like it's fun just to hang out there. And if you don't have your own show, just to be there. But yeah, that was a goal because I was like, having a good tape is good, but also if they. I want them to watch it. So, like, if I was hanging out there, like, they see your face enough just to remind them of you. I think that's why people do social media so much. Just even if it's not that good of a tweet, everyone did see your picture again. Go, oh, yeah, them. And you just want people to, you know. And it's also people do... if you're booking a festival, it's a festival. Mm-hmm. Like, the word festival, it's, like, fun. And some people are like, oh, they only got that because they hang out. People like them and like to hang out with them. Like, that's the only reason people get anything.
Yep.
Like, that's life and careers. And I mean, if two people are exactly as funny as each other, and one of them is really fun and one of them is not, people are human beings and they're going to want the funner one.
Sounds like
Chris
Rock's affirmative action joke.
Yeah. Yes. It's the same kind of... And people will go, that's not fair. And I'm like, well, there's no comedy laws, and there's no comedy police, and you're allowed to book your festival however you want. And one time I got a gig at a comedy club because I liked their tweets. I followed them on Twitter, you know, they got like 2 likes a post, and I was like, I'm gonna like their tweets and see what happens. It doesn't cost me nothing. I just scroll through and like them. And then they messaged me on Twitter and gave me a gig, which who knows how long, but I mean, they were reminded of me. I mean, you obviously don't want to annoy people and get them to block you, but I was like, you know, I'm sure this is run, whoever's running this Twitter works there. And it could be as easy as they're sitting there eating an apple and they're like, you know, Caleb's funny. And they thought of that because, you know. And even if you do the same jokes again, like someone sees you for the fifth time and they're like, man, you know who I saw the other night? And they bring it up to someone else and then they go, oh yeah. And then they're like, well, I'll watch him. And then they watch you and then they're like, oh, they'd be good for that gig I had. You know, you're trying to get your name out there and hopefully in a good way. But even in that, like somebody's like, boy, Caleb bombed the other night, but he bombed pretty funny. He said this one. Whenever I bomb, I like to post about it on Facebook just to see what. It's like, one time I bombed and I posted about it, and it got more likes than when I announced I was doing Conan. Because people thought it's funnier. Bombing's funnier than doing good. If you post and you're like, killed it tonight, everybody's like, what a dick. Bragging.
Any other questions for Caleb? Well, so they're kind of embarking on comedy to whatever degree they kind of want to after this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, do you have any overarching advice for if they do want to continue to pursue comedy, maybe what steps to take after this?
You also have a life to live. And there's very, very, very successful comedians who are miserable and not happy at all, and they're millionaires with a big house. And, I mean, comedy is fun, but, I mean, it just depends on how you want it to fit into your life. For me, my goal was to get, you know, certain things, and I didn't care about anything else. And I was like, okay, I'm not married, I don't have kids, I'm young, I'm reasonably healthy. I can deal with the travel and taking buses, and I don't own much, and I can, you know, pack up and do this. And I was like, whatever, I dropped everything and was like, this is what I'm focusing on for all day, every day for a few years and to see what happens. And not everyone wants that or needs to do that. I probably didn't have to do it, but I was like, I'm not taking any chances because I wanted it really bad. But some people like I do love my family, and I guess eventually I would like to have enough money to have multiple, you know, places and be around them more. But I was like, you know, this is, and I would talk to them about it. They're like, I mean, if this is your dream, you know, obviously we'd love for you to not live in California and be closer to us, but this is what you want to do. And so, like right now, it's great. I'm hanging out with them like all month, and it's a lot of fun. And maybe it's good that I miss them and hadn't seen them in a while. But you know, it just depends on what you want. And there's some people who, you know, they can't. They have a family, they have kids, they have a really nice job. I've never had a nice job. Every job I've ever had, I've hated, and they've paid very little. So it didn't take long for me to make what I was making at Jimmy John's. At stand-up, so making very little at Jimmy John's. And so people are like, wow, you're doing it for a living. And I'm like, well, I mean, people's definition of living is different. And, you know, I'm not, and like, you guys know LeVar Walker? Do you know who that is?
Been on Hot Bread twice.
Yeah. He's a pharmacist. He makes, you know, he has a doctorate.
Right.
He makes a lot of money at his day job. And for him to make what he, I mean, it's just different for different people and what kind of life you want and how you want it to fit in there. But if you want it and don't care what you have to give up for it, that's what I did. But I mean, everybody's story is different.
It's on stage a lot too.
Yeah.
I feel like that's half the battle is just living on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some, like Ray Romano, I think he's a very underrated stand-up. People just think of him as the sitcom guy, but I think his stand-up's really funny. And he found a way to make it work, and he did a lot of family stuff, and, you know, had his family life and then went out at night and then went back. I mean, he couldn't party up all the time because he had responsibilities. And some people, like Tommy Jonigan's like that. He's got two kids and a family and super fun. He just got a sitcom deal at CBS. So not everyone has to, like, eye of the tiger all the time, you know. But I was afraid to do it any other way. So I was like, I don't want to have kids and then love them, you know. I'll do that later. I want to love one thing right now. Because I didn't want to take any chances. So, I mean, it just depends on what you're going for. Like, I would love to host a TV show. Even if it was a dumb game show, I like doing that. I think it's fun. I think it's funny. I'm not a very great actor, but I think I could do that. But some people think that's the worst. They're like, I would kill myself if I was like, hosting a game show or had to host a daily talk show. Like, they go insane. They hate it. So just figure out what you want and how you want to go about getting it, because it's different. It is different for every person.
But actually taking the time to like sit down and give it thought. Like, write
yes.
down, like, okay, I did this class, now what would I actually want to do, or how would I want to use what I learned in here, even if it's not for comedy?
Right.
Just taking the time to sit down and compartmentalize it.
Yeah, and everything you learn as a comedian, and everything you learn in stand-up is useful in other areas. I mean, it might be helpful, like, for the midterms. I know a lot of comedians who are doing a lot of effective canvassing because they're really good at socializing and make like condensing an idea, making it compelling and entertaining, and you know, being able to win people over. Stand-ups have changed my mind about a lot of things, and I think they're really good. They're better at it than a lot of politicians are, and I think there's a lot of useful things, and it's helped me with a lot of things, talking to people, forming arguments. There's a lot of skills that it is hugely helpful in.
I think it's great that you could go and stand in front of a room of 50 strangers and get them laughing. I mean, that's an amazing concept.
Yeah, it's when it works, it's great.
an applause break, that would be my goal right now.
Applause, yeah.
It's a good goal for even, yeah, what are your goals for Friday even? It's like thinking that
right.
short term.
But yeah, I think of a goal. Brian Regan said a great thing where he was like, I'm always working on several goals. I'm always working on a new 5 minutes. I'm working on a new hour. And I'm working on a new joke. And he's like, there's these simultaneous goals that you're trying to get going. And sometimes you don't want to have too many where you can't do them all. But like, figure out the little things you want to work on. And like tonight, I'm already thinking about, you know, I have two jokes that are a week old that I'm trying to get better. I have my jokes that I came up with this year. Because, you know, I'm always like, I could close with this joke that I've been doing since 2013. But I mean, I know it works. I would like to have a new one, like, that's only 6 months old. But if I can already close with that, I don't need to do that old joke. I can just pull that out when I need it. Because the most impressive thing, because I also think about when I watch people and then talk about them behind their back, and be like, you're like, oh, I saw him the other day, he's great, he had all this new stuff, and he had this new clothes, it's great. And, you want, because people will talk about you, but that's the whole industry is set up that way. You want people to talk about you behind your back. You hope it's good. I always think about I want them to say these things. I want them to go, oh, he's working hard, and this new thing's funny, and those are most of my goals. But yeah, I've already been thinking all day about what I want to do tonight.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I think we're over. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, of
course.
There you go, Hot Breathiverse. It is so amazing and so inspiring that at every level, just comedians still being humble and just willing to take time out of their busy days to really just, you know, support the cause, support the community. I heard Jeff Ross and David Tell were just on Joe Rogan, and Jeff Ross was talking about how he almost
thinks of himself as a comedian before even like an American. He feels like we're our own tribe. So it's always cool for at every level for us to just stay connected. So I hope you enjoyed this and found value in it. If you did and you think it's worth sharing, hey, give it a share. Tag someone in it. And if there's comedians out there that you know that you think would benefit from hearing this, tell them about it. Tag them in it. Post it on their walls. That's really how we're all going to grow and get better. You know, my mission really has become a lot of people are doing comedy. So if there's a way to help us make people suck less at comedy, then let's do that. And I hope Hot Breath does that, where with a lot of information and insight into comedy about what it actually takes to get good at comedy, I hope, if anything, we can help there be less sucky comedy out there. That's the new tagline, Hot Breath, creating less sucky comedy one episode at a time. Maybe not. But anyway, it's Friday or whatever day you found this. Get out there, kids. Keep grinding. If you have any questions at all, hit me up. DM me. You know the social medias. If you don't, they're in the show notes. If you want to pick up some merch, hey, that'll be linked in the show notes as well. If you're in Atlanta, you want to come to the live game show I'm doing in December, that'll be linked in the show notes as well. I'll link the Patreon in the show notes if you want to drop a couple bucks in there as the podcast tip jar. But all in all, your support keeps me supported and invested in making all this time we're putting into this podcast worth it. So I appreciate it and all you do, and however you can engage, I'd love to hear from you. So that's it. Monday, that's right, only a couple days away, we got Tierra Burrell, the health. She is like a 10th degree black belt in health. So you can go listen to her first interview she did. I'll link it in the show notes. But she's back to tell us all about how to stay healthy on the road. Something you definitely, definitely, definitely are going to want to hear as we're trying to bounce back from all that Thanksgiving cheer. So, or bounce around like a ball from all that Thanksgiving cheer. But that's it, Hot Breathiverse. We'll be back on Monday. I love you so much. Stay funny. Stay funny. I don't think that's going to become the closing tagline. We'll just play the chime and get out of here. I'll see you Monday. Cue the chime. Hot Breath.
This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.